special edition of Talk About Dad. I'm your host, John, here with my lovely wife, Laura.
Hey, guys.
We are experimenting a little bit. It's been a little bit of a crazy week. Our other co-host, Johnny, got sick this week.
So sick.
Selfishly went down. Now, I got sick, too, but mine was a little earlier than his. Went and got a shot or two. But he told me, by the way, and you can help me with this, he had to get a steroid shot, and he says that... And we get them all the time. That this time, the man,
I mean, we don't get them all the time. It's
guys,
not like
I
we're...
have steroid shots like they're going out of style, like one a week, you know, every week, whether I need it or not. No, he said that they forced him to. They said, "Listen, this is going to hurt more than usual. We're going to put it all the way into your hip, which normally you just stand and lean on one side." So they made him lay down, stretch out his leg, and like he said, it was the most painful shot he'd ever had. And it's just like a steroid. He's like, why is this different than usual? And they're like, this is what we're... I don't know. Does that sound, from a medical perspective?
That just sounds weird.
Johnny, were you in an alley at the time? Like, was this like a...
My guess is that they were trying to do it like a deeper intramuscular shot, but maybe it was because his dose was larger. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Normally, you just want to get it into the muscle.
Yeah, I don't know. Johnny, I think that maybe you... like found somebody that was not reputable in the medical profession. So I hope
Johnny's
okay.
Pay him in like Bitcoin? Find him on the dark web?
Johnny. Oh my gosh. Well, our thoughts and prayers though go out to Johnny. I hope that he's doing better. So I wish everyone listening right now could understand where we're sitting and how this is looking. It may be a little more echoey than usual. Hopefully I'll have that out in the post edit, but we're sitting in dining room chairs with microphones on them in our spare bedroom with one of our dogs, Brutus, on the bed next to us, kind of laying across some of the equipment, basically, because he just doesn't know where to go.
We fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Ace, the other dog, the dog of ill repute, is in his crate right now. And we have coffee. Hold your coffee up to the microphone. You can hear the foam. Listen to that. Man, let me tell you something. You are right in the driver's house right now. And Laura hates, like, actually putting the microphone into her face.
I don't know. I don't want it. Like it's down my throat.
But it's not. It's, like, a good, right now, 5 inches away from your mouth. I need it to be, like, 2 inches away, probably.
Yeah, well, you basically eat the microphone.
Well, yeah, but I use a microphone every day. That's what you do. I keep trying to... We talked to our daughter about this. Like, you can't... You don't get to decide the rules of microphones, honey. Like, you don't get to just be like, hey, I'm not going to do it this way. Like, you have
Listen,
to adjust to the world.
I have yet to have a full cup of coffee. It is exactly 8:05. I have been up since really early this morning, running around like a chicken with my head cut off. So I would suggest you stop getting on to me about the microphone.
That's true. I do appreciate you co-hosting this with me. We are doing a morning edition. I'm not sure when this will post, but this is a morning that we are recording this right now.
A legit morning.
Yeah, legitimately. I just got back from dropping Sadie off. We're waiting on an HVAC guy because we had a unit go out upstairs again. Yeah. So my mom had to leave because it was literally 93 upstairs.
It's so hot right now.
Yeah. And we had all this happen before, and it leaked into the drywall of the garage. Had to have a bunch of repairs. Took several months. It was an insurance claim. I just had it all painted, all put back together.
And now we have big water spots again.
Yeah, you called me. I was on the road on a book meeting Friday, and you called. You're like, you're not going to guess it. Like, it was that's bad. It was bad news.
It was.
It was bad news. I didn't spiral, though, too bad. I kind of began to spiral. We spiral. I would love to know the listeners.
No, there is no we.
Oh, come on. You catastrophize, too.
No.
Yeah, you go
not
down
near
the hole.
As bad as you do.
If you got a big meeting or your recipe, listeners, I don't know if you ever talked about her recipes before, but Laura has this brilliant concept that she discovered about me and my mental health.
or lack thereof.
Right, mental health in air quotes, is... that basically my life is like I have these recipes, like one ingredient, I might be okay. So we all have one ingredient a day that's negative, you know, one like, you know, you didn't sleep well or, you know, your bank account's a little low.
You have a flat tire, like
yeah.
Just one little catalyst.
Right. But I have like repeated things that happen in life that she determined over the course of almost 20 years, 19 years this month, by the way. Woo-hoo. Yeah, this is September 30th is our 19th anniversary. And she began to pick out that if four or five things happen in tandem together, if they come together, then they become greater than the sum of their parts, like, or worse, if you will. It creates something that tastes
bad.
But
it's not brownies.
No, it's not brownies. It's a bad recipe. And there's certain people involved in that recipe. There's certain situations involved in that recipe. There's like I could tell you at least one of them is if I have an email out that I'm waiting on an answer from. Like, I hate unresolved communication as much as I hate unresolved conflict.
24-hour rule.
Right. And I'm saying when it's been now 72 for no reason, and it happens all the time. That's just the life, you know, that we live. And it's one of those things that you don't want to be that guy following up. And so anyway, we've learned recipe. But, yeah. So in our house, you know, spiraling is a thing. Like, oh, you're spiraling because all these multiple things are happening at once. So, but I think we're doing okay. I have not spiraled in HVAC. We got a guy coming this morning. We're waiting on him now. He's hopefully going to help us see what the real problems are. And listener, we want to help you find out what the real problems are. Actually, so hey, let's talk about our week.
It's been crazy. Yeah. It's ridiculously hot here in the Mid-South. Mm. We've had heat indexes of like 105, 108. I'm having to throw chlorine in the pool in like mass quantities because it's burning off. So we've had bad chemical tests this week on the pool. Let's see.
You love the pool chemistry.
I do. It's chemistry. So it's so fun.
So Laura goes into the pool company this week, and so she has figured out, because there's all these apps and stuff.
No, yeah, I haven't figured out, but there is a great website, and I'll try to get this right. Yeah, it's called troublefreepool.com, and they have a corresponding app, and it basically allows you to get your water test, whether you test it yourself or get it done by somebody, and then use sort of like basic household items to adjust the chemistry in your pool versus going to the pool place and buying the really expensive chemicals, because things like baking soda, you know, other things get relabeled in the pool shop with some, you know, fancy name like alkalinity up, and then they charge you so much money for it. So our chemistry was really off this week. Our pH and our alkalinity was off. And so he gave me the results and he was like, well, you need, you know, 15 pounds of this. And I was like, no, that's okay. I'll just grab some borax. And he was like, no, that won't work. You have to have this. And I was like, no, it'll work.
You don't go telling Laura Driver, no, that won't work, especially when it comes to chemistry or science.
So anyway, I just ran over to Walmart, grabbed borax, which is like, I don't know, $3.78.
Which sounds like a Dr. Seuss character.
Yeah, borax. Yeah, but it's like $3.78 for a 4-pound box. I needed like 12 pounds of it. So, you know, I did for $12 what he wanted to charge me almost $75 for. And then the next day I went and had my water retested and my pH and alkalinity were fine.
And you want to say what he said?
He was like, oh, I guess you do know what you're talking about.
You're like, dang straight, I do.
Well, I mean, it's not like I figured this out. I'm using an app and a website. But for all you pool owners out there, it's a great website to decrease your chemical cost.
I'm going to tell you something. Owning a pool and like if you pay somebody to just do the chemicals,
no, we had to do that. Ridiculous.
When we first moved into this house, my dad passed away as we were moving. And so like everything was crazy up in the air. And then our dog Rue just got attacked on the same day. And so we're like running to the vet, running to the funeral home, running around trying to. And we literally were throwing things into trash bags and just throwing them in the back of the car trying to get the move done.
So for like the first 6 months, we paid somebody to do the maintenance on the pool, the chemical testing,
because we knew
all
if it
stuff.
Got behind, it was going to damage equipment, yeah, and it was going to cost us more. Yeah, and man, those monthly bills were like woo, and they were really nice and did a great job. But once I was so glad when you figured out this app-based, web-based way, because I probably never would have done that. I probably would have not done that. So, and not that I'm not capable, I just wouldn't have. So,
yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What's wrong with me?
Well, we each have our things that we kind of manage in the house. Yeah. You definitely do all the yard work and all the mulching and that kind of stuff and the weeding. And I handle the pool and we kind of split house duties. And yeah.
Speaking of duty.
I don't think we want to.
Can we talk about this creature you've brought into our home?
He's driving me crazy.
But everyone's going to see his picture, and they're going to be like, that's what everyone says to me. I'll be at the office complaining, and they'll be like, but Ace is so cute.
He is really cute.
Listen, cuteness doesn't get you everywhere. I mean, cuteness gets you most places in life, okay? That may be true, but this dog, we haven't slept in, I don't know how many.
Yeah.
We haven't slept in the night. It's like having a baby.
Well, I don't sleep through the night anyway.
We're getting less intrinsic value, though. It's not like I get to pass along my inheritance or anything to this dog.
He's just not doing real well with crate training. He's a slow learner. Hopefully, because volleyball season is ending this week, we'll have a little more consistency in the evenings, and he'll catch up quickly.
But, I mean, the dog, okay, I counted. We came home last night. Was it yesterday? Or maybe it was Saturday night. Yeah. And we came home and we took him. Because you, like, this whole idea of, you have to help me here. Like, intervene with me. Help me understand here. Like, apparently we're crate training him, but still, I need to make sure I take him outside every 3 minutes.
No, not
I'm
three.
Telling you, it will. He peed 6 times in 40 minutes the other night. We came home, I took him out. We come back inside. Well, you know that first one might not have emptied his bladder because you know how he is. He's too excited. So then I take him back out. He does it again. And anytime that he plays, he's a puppy, so he runs in circles already. But guess what happens when dogs circle? Anytime he sniffs, he's a dog. He's sniffing the whole. So literally, I have to just sit here. We had a game on. We have to just sit here and just watch him. Ace, no. And I have to get up and go take him. And sure enough, he'll go pee every time.
Like, well, the good news is we're crate training you.
That's what I'm saying. This is not helping the dog. Something's wrong with this. Is not a way to live. How are people doing? I mean, we have a dog.
Please send all your crate training tips to Talk About That Pod.
Just email me directly, john@johndriver.com. I need direct intervention here.
Send us videos, recommendations. If anyone would like Ace for 6 weeks and send him back to us crate trained, like, we can negotiate terms.
Maybe deal with his attitude a little bit too.
Well, I think it's your attitude.
Well, someone can take me for 6 weeks, too, if they want, I suppose.
Please, yes, and hallelujah. Let me tell you, he eats regularly in mass quantities. So, John, coming to your house for 6 weeks is not a cheap endeavor.
I don't know if we're talking about the dog still. I mean,
well, so. The dog does do that, too. He's a little porker. He'd eat it all day long.
Yeah, and he does. Me and him get along okay. We're doing okay. Like, I know I'd kind of, you know, rant against him, but this is, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at Brutus right now. What's he doing? He's just laying 14.
There.
Yeah, but he's been like this the whole time.
No.
He may have been a little more.
You don't remember.
He was a little more energetic, you know. But
yeah.
There wasn't quite the.
We don't remember. We didn't have a child then.
Okay, I will mind you to not tell me what I remember or don't remember. Driving.
John, you don't remember anything ever. That's the great thing about it. I can say that 99% of the time it's true.
I have a complete accurate memory of this dog. No. Me and this dog we're close.
I mean, after you almost killed him 6 different times.
Okay, I did not almost kill him. He did get into rat poison one time when he was probably Ace's size. Right at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you were out of town. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to not be married after this. Like, I've killed the dogs. I rushed him to the vet. We pumped his stomach, and he was fine. No worse for the wear.
He was about the size of a big rat. So.
Yeah. Well, he got underneath. Yeah, we were at the church where we were doing construction, and he got underneath an ice machine where they'd put him back there, some stuff. No other animals but rats could get there. So. And then one time a bus almost ran him over, but the bus stopped. It was fine. He ran away from me.
Also while I was out of town.
It's always when you're out of town. We should talk about that.
Business trips for me. Oh, bad things happen when I'm gone.
We have some stories on.
Let's see. Rat poison, almost getting ran over by the bus. Sadie decided to change her name once when I was in Montreal. And to prove that she had changed her name. because all good Southern girls have monogram sheets, she took a permanent marker and quote unquote monogrammed her sheets with her new name.
She was three.
Well, she was old enough to write, so it was more like four or five for that.
Yeah, she knew her letters. At
three is when she did the permanent marker.
On the couch.
Well, yes, on the couch, but while I was out of town, she also took them to her face.
Oh, yeah. And I had to get that off without you.
Yes.
And off the couch upstairs. Yep. I think I rented a steamer for that.
You know, you'd think that we'd be smart enough to put the permanent markers where she couldn't get them.
Well, we were. I think she got to them anyway. She's just smarter. Like, she found a way, you know. So you're saying these things never happen when you're in town?
No, they don't. Oh, wait. While I was out of town is also when she slid down the thing at the church and we had to go get her tailbone x-rayed, right? Yeah, I was out of town. I was coming from Atlanta.
Okay, that was VBS. Okay, that story was...
But I was out of town, right? Yeah, I was.
Of course you were. And we were leaving.
Yes, to go to my parents as soon as I got home.
So what had happened was we'd finished VBS and I had all the youth kids. We always clean the church after VBS. And we just mopped the hallway. And I said, now, Sadie, she's with her friend. I said, Sadie, do not run. Just stay off the mop floor. And man, it's like one of those, it's like a movie. Like you're about to watch a car crash, but you can't stop it. You're like begging, no, don't drive down that road. And she's running. I was like, Sadie, no. And then all of a sudden, she just legs straight up in the air and went down flat on her tailbone. And of course, you know. She was in pain, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Well, because it's a hard tile floor. I mean, it's not like it's got any cushion at all.
But you know what's funny is, and not just not funny, this is probably tragic. The thing about me, though, and how my brain works is that when those things happen, my compassion is gone, like immediately. I have to go search for it. My first inclination is not my kid's in pain, let's comfort her. My first inclination is, I told you not to do that. And then my second real reaction is that you have now messed up the plan that I had this all. I mean, number one, if I was out without you all week, there's no doubt I was already doing double duty with the kid. You know, I've been, and no doubt I had the house clean for you because I always try to have the house clean whenever you come home to make sure the dishes and everything's ready. So I've kept the child alive. We've ran a VBS. And I'm going to have the house ready for you. And we're supposed to head out of town for the night to go see your parents. So, like, I got this all lined up. Like, I've done the work. I've done the job. And then you managed somehow. All I need you to do is to
not run.
Put on these clean clothes that I'm going to wash for you and eat this food I'm going to put right in front of you and run around. I'm not even asking you to help clean or do anything. Run around and play in this enchanted land that you have as a child. One thing I asked, don't run down that slick hallway. And you went and did it. And now I got to go to the doctor without the medical parent, you know, which means I'm going to sound like an idiot or be like, I don't know. Like, is, you know, am I going to the right? Do we have coverage, you know, for this particular, you know, place that I'm going? Because I'm trying to get it done on a Friday before we head out of town.
It must have been 4th of July weekend or something where I had a trip leading into... Lake weekend.
I think it was, which makes it again even worse. It's on a holiday. I don't know. But then you feel awful. This is when now the layers of guilt and condemnation begin to just, you know, fold over on themselves. You're like, wow, what sort of monster is not just, you know, compassionate towards his ailing child who's now crying? I mean, I do have to comfort her. But am I the only one out there that's like, you screwed up the master plan? Like, here I am.
I don't like having my plan screwed up. That is
no,
true.
No, you do not.
I usually go, though, first to compassion kicks in secondary to me making sure that everything is still functional with
course.
The person.
Yes. I did go make sure she's... I mean, I knew she hadn't broken her neck or anything. I watched it happen.
Right.
So, yes. And I was very worried about her tail. But, of course, then I'm thinking of all the trouble.
A cracked tailbone hurts.
Right. And for a child who's active...
Well, and who was... The plan was to go tubing and jet skiing and on the boat and all the things that she could not do if her tailbone was cracked.
So, it really does come down to, though, you start thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm going to have 6 to 8 weeks of all the plans we've made for the summer that are left. I'm thinking about the medical bill. I'm thinking about her not enjoy. Can we even ride in the car? I remember thinking that, like, oh my gosh, I need her to ride in the seat. Can you just sit there and ride? Nope, can't now. You know, Yeah, I'm a horrible person, but
well, as long as we've cleared the air on that.
Yeah, yeah. This is where the healing begins. Thank you, listener, for allowing us to talk all of this out for John.
I'm trying to think if there's been anything else that's been really funny or big while I've been out of town.
Well, the thing is, school pictures have always,
almost like, always happened while I'm gone.
Like, you may take 3 trips in.
It's not like I travel. No. I used to before Sadie was born a lot. And all work. It's not like I'm talking about going on vacation.
she just goes out all the time.
Yeah, guys. I'm just gone leaves all me the and time. Sadie for weeks leaves on Sadie end. And John. Yeah. But no, it's maybe once every 90 days yeah, is I mean, kind of that, what I do on average.
Yeah. And it's uncanny.
It's always
it literally
pictures.
Happened every year from like first grade through.
Well, even she had school pictures done when she was at Mother's Day out and stuff, yeah. And it would never fail. So thank you, Kelsey Smith West, for always coming over and doing yeah. her hair.
Yeah, because there's no way. Look, I can get her ready, and right. I can pull her hair up in a pony.
Semi-ponytail.
Maybe a pony, or when she's real little, the little pony on top of her head, which I love. Those are my favorite, you know. But man, no, there's no like, and I can braid a little bit, but not,
but pictures aren't braids anyway.
Exactly. And Laura's always, even my ponies and stuff, I don't know. I feel like that the hair for the females is like this painful rite of passage that you all, I mean, Sadie and you, she has screamed and cried more when you're doing her hair. And you're just kind of like, look, this is what it's like to be a girl. Like, you know, it's just kind of, it's like this torture chamber in the bathroom. People are just screaming and yelling. Also, we can look beautiful, you know, and I'm just like.
You have to get past the tender-headed stage.
Yeah, I just don't.
And now she's not tender-headed.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can braid and do everything now.
Because
no
for
problem.
Me, when she starts screaming and I'm trying, it's like, you know what? It's probably not worth it. Like,
yeah, no,
we're going to be just, okay. Life's going to go on whether I get this tangle out or not. Let's just put it in this bow.
Nope, not how it works.
And then later on, we'll put you in the bath, you know. But this idea that I'm going to sit here with this, you know, torture device and this medieval.
Also known as tangle spray and a hairbrush.
But it does sound like that. I wonder if the other moms listening have that experience.
Oh, I'm sure. And some people are just super tender headed, but I was going to not have a tender-headed child if I could help it.
Can you really decide whether yes. or not a child's head's going to be tender or not? I think you may be a little...
You condition it to not be.
You may be... This is kinda a head like, conditioner.
It's kind of like high heels. Like, you just put them on, they hurt really bad, you just walk in them anyway and don't take them off.
See, I think that there's a basic, like, reaction or instinct of humanity that says, you just shouldn't do that. Like, this is, you just decide. I get it. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the equivalent for a dude.
There's not one.
Like, when things aren't right, unless we're forced to, like if I had to go weed eat all day for my dad, I have to do that.
This is systemic patriarchy at its best right here.
But you're the one sustaining it. I'm not doing it.
Well,
I'm not asking you to do that.
Somewhere along the way, there was a cultural expectation that was set.
Yeah, I'm here trying to break the patriarchy, and you're reinforcing it, so... Yeah, that's it's always been the pictures when you're gone. And then the sickness is the worst. Like
yeah.
if she starts getting sick, and I do, that's when I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I go to the medicine cabinet and trying to figure out, you know, from our own little pharmacy here exactly how. And you're like, well, is she running or is she stuffy? It's like, she's running sometimes and stuffy the other. Well, which one is it? You know, is she going to be an antihistamine or a decongestant? Well, you have to have it here. Hold on, let me go. And you'll literally go look up the dosage charts, you know.
When she was little, for sure.
I need you to go weigh her. I want to see her. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, so I'm, you know, yeah. So
it's glorious though. Now she's 11 and has been able to swallow pills for what, like 2-3 years now?
Longer than that.
And it's glorious because she's been so tall for so long that if she were still taking liquid Tylenol and stuff, it's like, here, take 6 bottles, you know. Yeah. But she's been great with that. So I strongly recommend parents get their kids to swallow pills early.
If we could just get her to take a shot now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, we have anxiety about future shots.
Well, and we are due for immunizations this year.
Yeah. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, neither is she.
I wish we could give her a shot.
I'm
going to
go out of town.
We need to.
I'm going to go out of town when her immunizations are due.
If we can get her to swallow a pill before the shot, that's not a bad idea. We know she can do that.
Wow. Are you literally talking about sedating our child so she can get him in?
Strong word. Sedation's relaxing our child. How about that?
Please, no one call DCS.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So what's going on in the world right now? I know you're constantly, you know, the thing I love about having you on the podcast is, and I'm with it somewhat. I sort of have a little bit of a, I have a love hate relationship, mostly hate with social media, which I got you into social media. That's the crazy thing. Like I got you an iPhone, I got you into social media and I regret it every day since, you know,
because so sorry.
It's like it's a vortex, you know? So I want to be up to date with what's going on in the world to a certain healthy extent, but also want to actually have a life of my own that I live within the right parameters of my life. So you seem to have a brain that can more encapsulate the bigger picture along with the smaller picture. So what's going on right now that's really kind of hitting you in a intellectual or motivational or philosophical place?
Well, you know, we're in the tail end of Palindrome Week, which is not really a week. It's actually 10 days where, you know, the number sequence is forwards and backwards the same. It only happens a couple times. Like it'll happen again in 2021.
Okay. I don't understand.
So like if you read the numbers, so like 9, it ends on 9/19, I think 9/19/19, you can read it forward and backwards.
91, 91, 91.
The same way. Yeah, that's what a palindrome is. It's forwards and backwards. You know, it's
But the 91 is different than 19.
No, you just have to do it without the slashes and you can literally read it backwards and forwards the same way.
Okay.
So it's the same both directions. It's like I'm trying to think of a word that's a palindrome.
A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Is the big one.
Yeah. So it's Palindrome Week, so a lot of people have been really excited about that. I don't know why. And it's not really a week. It's 10 days.
That's the most insignificant thing.
I know, sorry.
I pitched you like the world.
I know. And it's a full moon, and it was Friday the 13th on Friday, so there was a lot of talk about those sequence of events for whatever reason. I don't know.
And you know, you're reinforcing all the reasons that we should do away with social media.
I'm trying to. I don't know. You know, the big news, I think, probably that hit, you know, in the faith world, kind of the faith culture world, was the passing of Jared Wilson, last week by suicide. And, you know, that happened on, World Suicide Prevention Day, of which Jared was a huge mental health advocate and a real, friend of, you know, the mental health community, and really did a lot of fantastic work, especially in the church and really dealing with how we address mental health. And there's still so much work, I think, to be done in that arena. So certainly there's been a lot of discussions around that. And I mean, we've not been immune to the effects of suicide in our community either, and it still continues to be an issue. Mental health is still continuing to be an issue in the church, and I think how we continue to address it. I do think that the tide is turning in the way that we talk about it, the way that we address it, certainly, hopefully, maybe removing some of the stigma around all of our brokenness and it not being just thrown around words. Like, I mean, even if you think about how historically we've called like mental health institutions the loony bin, or we've referred to people as crazy, you know, all of those things have sort of done layers and layers and layers of damage. And I think we are turning the tide to kind of uncover some of those things and starting to really address mental health in our faith the same way we would address any other kind of health issue. And so I do think we have a lot of work to do there, but I do think that we are beginning to see a shift, and I'm hopeful in that. I mean, we've got some wonderful, people just in our circle that are mental health professionals, and seeing the intersection of those things in our faith communities, I think will only continue to to change things, but I'm just not sure it's changing quickly enough.
Yeah. You said quite a bit there, because I mean, there is like this feeling, and we kind of encounter this when we talk a lot about becoming broken into the context of the gospel is kind of like our main paradigm right now, that we feel like we should have been there the whole time.
Right.
And there are some, especially I think of the older generation, you know, that look at us and or hear what we're saying. And I think younger generation too, you can't stereotype, because this is where I was as well. And they go, hey, is there ever a moment in life that we say we're okay? Like, what is that? Like, okay, or another word we use is normal.
Right. Average, fine.
Yeah. Like, can't everybody just be fine? Do we all have to? Because it begins to unsettle this general feeling that everybody around me is okay. Like, I'm driving down the interstate, and they're driving down the interstate, and our lives are pretty much all headed somewhere. And we all have a goal today. We have a job today. We're going to accomplish something today. And the world, we kind of have like this feeling that the world is going, and it's okay. And then we have these anomalies / exceptions when somebody is physically ill, mentally ill, quote unquote crazy, quote unquote not normal. Something's not normal. And I really believe that we sum people up into two categories, like normal or crazy. Like,
right.
We do that all the time. You meet someone, even those of us who study, you know, multiple lenses of looking at the world, I still have this default tendency to meet somebody, and when I call you later, because it was a, you know, whatever, to go, yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out, because they're, and I've already, I put them either into the it's going to work out category, or it's not.
Not, right.
You know, and so immediately, I think that's what we've done with mental health a little bit too. Like, hey, are you okay or are you not okay? Instead of like seeing really the infinite subtle levels of, hey, you know, there is a general brokenness to humanity. And I think what we're really saying is your version of what's not okay, does it hit this chart, or does it hit this this public viewpoint where,
right,
everybody can
not
see it.
Not realizing there's this very, very wide spectrum,
right,
between health and unhealth, and that all of us are somewhere on that spectrum.
Right.
And again, I think specifically with mental health issues and the church and faith, we have long dealt with mental health in a sense of it equating to our levels of faith, our levels of belief, our levels of trusting God, and all of those things. So I think we have specifically around those some additional work to do in that area. I heard, Mike Foster this week on a podcast talk about one of the questions that he was asked, and he was a friend of Jared's, is, you know, kind of some things that we can ask of our friends and people in our lives in a way, like, what's our level of accountability? Like, if we know somebody's not doing well, but now they seem to be better, like, we don't want to go kind of pick at that scab again, right? Like, we don't want to kind of bring it up because it's uncomfortable. And I thought he gave three examples of questions to ask that are a gauge and a mechanism to check in, but without like just saying, hey, you know, do you have suicidal ideation today? You know, that's probably not the best way to handle it when a person is definitely swinging back towards a place of health. But he says, how's your heart today?
Yeah.
How's your mind today? And how are you sleeping? And in those three questions, you can kind of gauge.
That's really good.
It's, you know, a kind of an open door. And I thought, what a great way for us to check in, and not honestly just check in when somebody's in crisis. I thought of that in the context of kind of the questions that we ask in our community groups, like how did you feed your soul and stuff? But how's your heart? How's your mind? And how are you sleeping?
Yeah.
And there's just so much in those questions. So I don't know, maybe that's a good thing for, you know, people to take away from that conversation and maybe get that conversation out there more, is just to ask those questions of, the people in your life. And then one of the other things I've been following pretty exclusively for several weeks now is there is a couple that I have followed for a long time, and they live, I believe, in Illinois or maybe Wisconsin. I can't remember, but their names are Dugan and Lindsay Sherbondi, and she actually is the creative mind behind the company called Lindsay's Letters, and yeah. She has done cover art for several books that I love, and you actually bought me a huge canvas mm-hmm. that she had lettered a few years ago for Mother's Day, and it's been hanging in our house for years. It has a quote by Shauna Nequest on it, which is one of my favorite authors, and their little girl, Ava, was in a just very unusual accident. She was just riding on a golf cart on a normal road, an adult driving, no roughhousing, nothing crazy. She just leaned down and fell out of the golf cart and hit her head and immediately started seizing and immediately, kind of went into a coma. That little girl has been fighting for her life for weeks. And I have followed both Dugan, her dad, who is a pastor, and Lindsay. And, you know, there is no roadmap. There's no guidebook for how we deal with tragedy and how we deal with really hard circumstances that don't have good answers, circumstances that really test and try our faith, because you think, why God, you know, yeah. Why this little tiny insignificant accident that if it had happened 100 other times would likely have not had this outcome. The doctors have no clue why such an insignificant, less than, 24 inch fall.
Yeah.
It'd be like a little kid falling off the back of a couch,
yeah.
Which happens all the time. So there's no roadmap. There's no guidebook. There's no right or wrong way to handle those situations. But just reading her dad and her mom's musings while they're in this journey have been so enlightening, have been so encouraging, and have been so faith-building
yeah.
to me. It makes you really look and examine your own faith journey and say, well, would I be handling this situation like they are? And there's good and there's bad and ebbs and flows. And again, there's no right or wrong way, but I think, just kind of following their journey and listening or reading what they're saying has just been so incredibly moving and faith building. And, we lost a dear friend of our school community this past week or week and a half ago. And that's one of the things I said to her daughter, the way she walked through her illness with so much grace, so much compassion for everybody around her, just the way, and again, there's no right or wrong way to handle those things. And I don't think God minds when we get mad and when we question and all those things, but just her graciousness and poise, and I don't even know what else to call it. Just literally, she was just the personification of peace and grace during her journey, was so moving to me. And I think those things can, if we allow them to, build up our faith when we allow people to kind of see behind the curtain, both the good and the bad. So those have kind of been the big things in our world the last few weeks.
Yeah. I was thinking of a scripture. I may misquote it a little bit, but it says that we rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, which does not, and there's two different translations. One says hope.
Which does not disappoint.
Yeah, that's the one that does not disappoint. And the other, I can't remember what the other one was, but it says because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But like that sequence, in fact, I was reading a book about the perceived nature of science having disproven faith.
Right.
And the author was going through, like, because the author, I think, was a Cambridge graduate and taught at MIT. He was talking about just listed the number of professors at MIT who are believers.
Yeah.
Like this idea that everybody who's of faith can't be people of science, but like, right. You know, and many of them came to faith
as because of science. Right. Yeah.
Like it wasn't I was raised in this. Most of them were not raised right. in it. They came to this conclusion. And one of the chief things that she was citing about one of them was as a medical doctor treating patients, she just could not deny not just the hope, but that the actual intervention that was happening in the lives of people who had a faith as they right. experienced these things. And whether we're talking about Tyler Trent or whether we're talking about, you know, somebody else in life, these people you're talking about, like, who are dealing with this horrible issue with their daughter, you know, and it sounds so almost trite and dismissive and cliche, because it seems like for me, if I'm looking at the devil's advocate, I'm looking at the person who is skeptical of what it is that we're trying to learn and grow in, I would say, you know, what you guys are just trying to make lemonade out of all these lemons. You're, right. you're trying to find this good in the middle of evil, and God allowing that evil is my problem. You know, that's the thing that I'm struggling with. But to understand that, well, one, I mean, this was, we talked about this last week a little bit. This wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's plan for any. God is redeeming this thing that we have messed up and that we've given over. But that God produces such beauty and God produces such hope, allows those things to be seen in the middle of it. And I was also thinking about Paul Miller when you were talking about, you know, when we ask somebody questions. We're living this, like you mentioned, in community. We're living this in this this world, and you and I are preparing for another marriage conference. Yeah. And so we're talking about looking at your marriage. And I also believe that you can look at your marriage too much instead of like living in your marriage. Like you have to have this balance.
Oh, sure.
That if one of you is constantly evaluating, it's like, it's almost like you stand on the scale. Some people, I think it's good. I am kind of a weigh every morning kind of person. I can't do that if I'm in the perspective of my expectations being off, like I'm expecting this scale to move a certain direction every morning, then there's zero chance in a healthy way that that's going to happen. Like at some point I have to see it for what it is. And if it's up 2 pounds,
right.
Just be like, okay, it's up 2 pounds, you know, and that just teaches me or tells me, it may tell me nothing. I may have done everything right yesterday. It may just be, you know, something happening in my body. I mean, there's, you know, things moving that I have nothing to do with. So
little plug for the Happy Scale app. It actually will trend your weight and it gives you moving averages and things so that if you are a daily weigher kind of thing, you get to see the ebb and flow versus like kind of being caught up in the, yeah. in the minutia of the numbers. It's well, these trends. Happy Scale.
You and your abs. But I think that's so true of the way we have to look at one another in community and mental health. Like, hey, Paul Miller, again, my reference was, hey, I got to look through the windshield and then occasionally I got to look at the windshield.
At the windshield, yeah.
So if the windshield continually gets dirty, I need to stop and look at it and fix it. But I don't need to spend all my time looking at the windshield or I can't drive.
Right.
Like, I have to look at where we're going. And I think that's that sort of balance of in the mental health side and in the community side of we need to have daily, honestly, there need to be things I look at daily.
Right.
And I need someone asking me how, and as I love those questions, I'm going to incorporate those, by the way. That's great. I'm going to take total credit for it and not even
I think you kind of have to give Mike Foster credit.
I'll just do it. No one's going to know. It's like Mike always says, and then I'll be like, it's like I always say, like soon I'm right there. But
I think his platform's just tiny bit bigger.
Just a skosh bigger. So, but all truth is God's truth, right? Which means I can claim it all as my right. truth. So, but that's, you know, I think it's a healthy thing to do. And that's a good takeaway today for all of us. And we do, man, everyone who's struggling out there. The suicide thing is such a difficult hopelessness that we face in this life. And so we just mourn with those who mourn today. And grieve. And then we also remind that truly
there's hope.
There is hope. We're not hopeless. We have to resist that that conclusion that we take away from humanity, because hope does not disappoint.
Right.
And so that only works in an eternal perspective. It only works in a life perspective that's outside of just this life that we have. And the idea that my life here, as long as it may be or short as it may be, is literally going to be a speck of dust on the eternal timeline. Like, that's those kind of perspectives, I think, get lost. But eternity is the perspective that brings the hope for the things in this life that we have. And so I just, you know, encourage everyone to whatever you're facing today, big, small, indifferent, dogs that you're training, you know, you're trying to figure out travel, you're trying to figure out life, you're trying to figure out marriage, that you don't have to figure it all out today. And that even though our lifetime may be a speck of dust, we're worth so much more. That's the whole message of hope, is that, man, as small and insignificant to the timeline as I am, God has given me like this great worth and this great value in his grace. And like, it truly reveals something, that it's not a self-centered worth. It doesn't mean I'm the center of it, but he also didn't just discard me as one who's just going to rotate around things indefinitely with no purpose. Like, I have a purpose. I'm invited into that. So we encourage you with that today. I know you've got big meetings coming up.
I do.
That you're going to have to go jump on calls. I got big meetings coming up. And so we've, I think, successfully executed our morning podcast with some coffee. Brutus is asleep pretty much the whole time, which is what we wish we would have been able to do as well this morning.
We hope you had your cup of coffee while you listened.
Yeah, maybe you listened this morning and shared. So, and send us questions and thoughts. Johnny and I will be recording another episode for next week as usual, because he's got his shots. I got my shots. We're all
roided up. So maybe they'll rip phone books or something next week.
Crazy. So, but make sure you share it and that you subscribe and get someone. These are usually our highest downloaded episodes, is when Laura's on here, because I think we bring that female perspective. So, actually it's just Laura pushing refresh.
That's right.
So.
It's all me.
But make sure you share. And if, hopefully there's some topics today that were beneficial to you or to someone that you care about. And we'd love to talk about things that you have in the future. So send them to us, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time on
Talk About That.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.